Good morning. I'm very glad you're here. Father, we bow before you in humble adoration. We thank you for loving us and sending your Son to die for us. And Father, our desire this day is that we might magnify our Lord Jesus. Father, we confess that he is Lord of all. And Father, we pray that that confession would glorify you. Would you bless your people this day? Would you enable us by your grace to worship you in spirit and in truth? And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's very important that we worship today. It's very important that we worship. If you look at the order of service that I send out each week, or at one of our bulletins when we have bulletins, we call this time when we sing together and pray together and listen to sermons together worship. We call it worship. And I pray that when we assemble here, we do worship. I pray that we worship in spirit and in truth, for Jesus, our Savior, said, "The Father seeketh such to worship him." John 4:23. My dictionary defines worship in the noun form as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. For example, the worship of God. And it defines it in the verbal form as to show reverence and adoration for a deity, to honor with religious rites. Well, beloved, listen, I pray, I hope that when we're singing and praying and listening to preaching, that our minds are elevated above the mundane, that our spirits are lifted, transcendent, and that we revere, adore, and worship Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Should you be moved in worship? You should be. We should be. And say, listen, if you are not revering, adoring, worshiping when we're together on the Lord's Day, you should be. You should be. For praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 33:1. And it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Psalm 147:1. When we observe the gospel ordinance of the Lord's Supper this afternoon, that religious rite, that ritual, it should be for us an intentional and conscious act of worship, a time of reverence, adoration, and remembrance of the death of our beloved Savior for us. For us. As our teeth masticate the bread, we should remember our marred and mistreated King, his broken body. As we taste and savor the blood of the grape, we should remember the blood shedding of our bleeding Savior, the Prince of Peace, who made peace for us through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20. Well, please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19. Luke, chapter 19. And look down to verse 29. This is that portion of Holy Scripture that's often referred to as the triumphal entry. And the evangelist records, beginning in verse 29, "It came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage in Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go you into the village over against you, in which you are entering in. You shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, 'Why do you loose him?' thus shall you say unto him, 'Because the Lord hath need of him.' And they that were sent went their way and found, even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, 'Why loose ye the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord hath need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt and set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, 'Master, rebuke thy disciples.' And he answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. What did he mean? What did he mean? What did this greatest of teachers mean when he taught, "If those who love me here won't worship, if they hold their peace, these rocks will cry out and worship"? What did he mean? Well, brothers and sisters, listen, God desires worship. Our God desires worship. Jesus told his followers that his Father seeketh true spiritual worshipers. God seeks them. In our text here, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, God in the flesh, this man who said of himself, "I am the truth," this man says of his disciples, "If these keep silent, these stones will cry out." Jesus is saying, even the created order knows that the King is here. And to cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," is most appropriate. And if these disciples don't worship, the creation itself will react. Beloved, listen. Creation speaks. Creation speaks. The psalmist, David, the sweet singer of Israel, sang, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day and day poureth forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." Psalm 19, 1 and 2. That's the New American Standard Version. In his artful paraphrase or idiomatic translation, The Message, Eugene Peterson translates Psalm 19, 1 and 2 like this. Listen. "God's glory is on tour in the skies. Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening." Saints, creation speaks. Creation speaks. Ever since there's been something, it's been pouring forth speech, words, propositions. All creation has been singing, "Something made me, something made me, something very wonderful made me." Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is there some thing rather than no thing? Because Jesus. Because Jesus. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Hebrews 1:2, New International Version. The universe didn't make itself. Jesus made it. Jesus made it. Why is there something rather than nothing? Jesus. Beloved ones, listen. Can you hear creation speaking? Because it is speaking. It is speaking. And woe to those who refuse to hear. The great apostle Paul writes, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Romans 1:20. Friends, listen. Stones have been speaking for a long, long time. Speaking, declaring, showing, singing, "Something made me. Something very wonderful made me." Listen, not only did the stones of the ground speak, the bricks and the stones of the walls and the wood of the beams speaks. When God Almighty would encourage His prophet Habakkuk that the Babylonian oppressors of His people were as good as dead, He said to him, "The stones of the wall will cry out. The beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime." Habakkuk 2, 11 and 12. The walls will speak. In the greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus explains that the birds that God created are speaking to us. Jesus explained that the flowers that God created are speaking to us. Even the grass that God created is speaking to us. Listen, this greatest of all teachers said, "Behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All those things will be added to you.'" Matthew 6, 26 through 33. Listen, saints, we're Christians. We should be able to hear creation speaking. And listen, we should be listening to it. Do you hear what I hear? Saints, listen, not only do the heavens sing, not only does the light and the darkness, the night and the day preach Not only does all nature sing as round us rings the music of the spheres, not only do stones and flowers and birds and grass cry out to us, not only does the woodwork speak to us, listen, even blood speaks. Blood speaks. When wicked Cain slew his brother, righteous Abel, God came to him and he said, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he, that is God, said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Genesis 4, 9 and 10. Listen, God Almighty hears His creation, all of it, even blood. The blood of righteous Abel cried out to God, even from the ground where the blood had been spilled. But saints, listen, remember this. It's not just Abel's blood that cries out. In his grand exposition of the atonement, the apostolic writer to the Hebrews writes, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, New International Version. Friend, what blood is this that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel? Whose blood is this? Whose blood is this that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel? In the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew is the record of Jesus ordaining the Lord's Supper that we'll eat this afternoon. And the Bible says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26, 26 through 28. What blood? What blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel? The blood shed on Calvary's cross speaks better things than Abel's blood. Abel's blood cried out from the ground, "Vengeance! Justice!" The blood, listen, the blood that stained Golgotha's brow cries out, and it sings, "Redemption! Forgiveness, justification, salvation, peace, 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 peace." Peace through the blood of the cross of Jesus. When those Pharisees told Jesus to get his disciples under control, as they were crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," Jesus replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Beloved, listen. Listen, the word of Jesus was true then. And certainly since then, it has come to pass. Stones are crying out. Stones are crying out. Stones are singing. Stones are worshiping. Stones are praying. Peter, the apostle of Jesus, writes, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. Excuse me. Did you hear what the apostle called you there in verse 5? Lively stones, living stones, speaking, praying, singing, worshiping stones. Brothers and sisters, as he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, Jesus prophesied to those Christ-rejecting Pharisees that if the Jews wouldn't worship him, the stones would cry out in worship. Now let me ask you something, beloved. Do you understand what's happening here today? Do you understand what's happening here today? We are here together, lively stones, living stones. And when we're together like this in corporate worship, we're being built up together, stone upon stone, into a spiritual house, a holy temple to Yahweh, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Blessed Peter says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the living stone that the builders, the Jews, rejected, God has made that rejected stone the chief cornerstone in his new temple." In his epistle to the Ephesians, the great apostle Paul speaks to those Ephesian Gentiles, and he says, "Now, in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were far off, have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you are all fitly framed together, growing into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2:13-22. So, what did that greatest teacher who's ever taught mean when he taught, if those that love me won't cry out in worship, these rocks, these stones will cry out? Well, beloved, I believe that he meant creation itself recognized the King. And if hard-hearted men wouldn't cry out and worship, creation itself would. That's what we're here for today. Saints, listen, that's what we are here for today, to worship, to cry out together as living stones. O Jesus, inai kyrios. Dominus, Jesus est. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We confess to the glory of God the Father. I pray for you. I pray for me that we might worship today in spirit and in truth. It's very important that we do. Go worship at Emmanuel's feet. See in his face what wonders meet. Earth is too narrow to express his worth, his glory, or his grace. The whole creation can afford but some faint shadows of my Lord. Nature, to make his beauties known, must mingle colors, not her own. Is he compared to wine or bread? Dear Lord, our souls would thus be fed. That flesh, that dying blood of thine, is bread of life, is heavenly wine. Is he a tree? The world receives salvation from his healing leaves. That righteous branch, that fruitful bough, is David's root and offspring too. Is he a rose? Not Sharon yields such fragrancy in all her fields. Or if the lily he assume, the valleys bless the rich perfume. Is he a vine? His heavenly root supplies the boughs with life and fruit. Oh, let a lasting union join my soul, the branch, to Christ the vine. Is he the head? Each member lives and owns the vital powers he gives. The saints below and saints above, joined by his Spirit and his love. Is he a fountain? There I bathe and heal the plague of sin and death. These waters all my soul renew and cleanse my spotted garments too. Is he a fire? He'll purge my dross, but the true goal sustains no loss. Like a refiner, he shall sit and tread the refuse with his feet. Is he a rock? How firm he proves. The rock of ages never moves. Yet the sweet streams that from him flow attend us all the desert through. Is he a way? He leads to God. The path is drawn in lines of blood. There would I walk with hope and zeal till I arrive at Zion's hill. Is he a door? I'll enter in. Behold the pastures large and green, a paradise divinely fair. None but the sheep have freedom there. Is he designed the cornerstone for men to build their heaven upon? I'll make him my foundation too, nor fear the plots of hell below. Is he a temple I adore? The indwelling majesty and power, and still to this most holy place, whene'er I pray, I turn my face. Is he a star? He breaks the night, piercing the shades with dawning light. I know his glories from afar. I know the bright, the morning star. Is he a sun? His beams are grace. His course is joy and righteousness. Nations rejoice when he appears to chase their clouds and dry their tears. Oh, let me climb those higher skies where storms and darkness ne'er arise. There he displays his power abroad and shines and reigns, the incarnate God. Nor earth, nor seas, nor sun, nor stars, nor heaven his full resemblance bears. His beauties we can never trace till we behold him face to face. Isaac Watts. Living stones cry out. Cry out. If you don't, creation is right now. We should. Jesus is Lord. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. Glorious God, it is the flame of my life to worship Thee, the crown and glory of my soul to adore Thee, heavenly pleasure to approach Thee. Give me power by Thy Spirit to help me worship, that I may forget the world, be brought into fullness of life, be refreshed, comforted, blessed. Give me knowledge, perception of Thy goodness, that I might not be overawed by Thy greatness. Give me Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, that I might not be terrified, but be drawn near with filial love, even holy boldness. He is my mediator, brother, interpreter, branch, daysman, lamb. Him I glorify. In Him I am set on high. Crowns to give I have none, but what Thou hast given I return. Content to feel that everything is mine when it is Thine, and the more fully mine when I have yielded it to Thee. Let me live wholly to my Savior, free from distractions, from hindrances to the pursuit of the narrow way. I am pardoned through the blood of Jesus. Give me a new sense of it. Continue to pardon me by it. May I come every day to the fountain, every day be washed anew, that I may worship Thee always in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.